Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third quarter financial results presentation. We have reserved a space for questions in the end of this conference. These questions are enabled for those connected to the web Zoom link. This conference has English to Spanish and Spanish to English interpretation. You can select the language by clicking interpretation on the lower or the bottom right corner of your screen. In your cell phone, you can press the plus button and then select the option language interpretation. Select the language and you will be ready. If you don't want to listen to them, original presenter, you can silence original or audio. Thank you for being here, connected. And now, Ricardo, you have the floor, our leader at Celsia. Thank you, Gonzalo. And hello to everyone who's listening to us today and following us in this conference about financial results. We're going to present what happened in this quarter and this third quarter. And we'll see in the end. Esteban is going to give you some details on financials. As you saw yesterday in the memo, in the communication, there was a lot of movement, and with the sale of the sales and Tolima, and well, the superintendent's issue, right? I mean, the sale of the duty-free zone and what happened with the entire electric system. But we want to give you some details because you were asking about that. So I want to thank our customers because they trust us and they allow us to bring all the best energy. And all the people working in the staff in the company, our customers, and the people who are helping affected by COVID-19. I want to especially thank our suppliers because they are always contribute to us and we can offer reliable service to continue with our progress. The company continues to boost the social economic improvement, promoting sustainable solutions and contributing to the life quality of our customers. When the emergency was declared, we have been working with all the interest groups to provide the electrical service. We have to provide this in a quarantine, of course, and we work with the protection of the administrative and staff. Most of them are working remotely. The operation staff is using the biosafety protocols and all the protection equipment to operate as safely as possible. Thanks to all these biosafety protocols, everything we have been doing in our offices, in our stores, to ensure the health of our collaborators and customers, we have a very low percent of contagion. Sadly, one of our collaborators passed away, but for 2,100 people, our rate has been very low. And we want to thank all the health institutions and healthcare professionals who support us. Most important of all, there are no situations that jeopardize the operation. Okay, so we are committed to creating jobs and taking care of people. We have over 2,100 collaborators and we have received about 172 new people. We have 69 apprentices. These collaborators are helping us to meet the needs of our customers during the pandemic. And we are aware of the positive effect on the community by providing these jobs. We launched a spectacular employment plan in Tolima. We expect to hire over 200 people in Tolima to work with our contractors. So we are really committed with generating income and generating jobs in this country. We in Celsia, we know that the private sector companies are essential to boost the economy and recover the growth and employment. We have been supporting our suppliers during the emergency. We have lowered the payment terms. We have made some advance payments, benefiting all the suppliers. We have been doing advance payments over 50 billion pesos and for our local suppliers when the pandemic started. And they are mostly SMEs, small and medium enterprises. And that's our scenario regarding suppliers. We have also designed a return or a go back to work plan. And we expect to implement it next year, early next year. We also have a program for customers from socioeconomic levels 1 to 4 and implemented for other customers of the company, for commercial and industrial customers. The benefits add up to 39 billion pesos. Out of them, 34 billion will be managed through FinDeter mechanisms, both rate zero and rate compensated rate. In our service, our customer service teams, we have approached customers who had doubts before the COVID so that they can enjoy the service without inconveniences. Since August, we have been collecting all the installments of these financing schemes. And in October, we have seen that the operations are going back to normal. I mean, the operational plan we had before COVID is now running on the company. I mean, we are working without any special considerations. All our teams are on site. We are acting with the same schemes we had in the beginning. So that's very positive. Some reliefs for our customers include the payment or the fee was the fee freeze since March. That represented 78 billion pesos. That's you pay what you paid for energy at cost, as we say. And in Tolima, in the Tolima market, it has represented 65 billion savings. In Tolima, we gave them the good news because they had no subsidy for socioeconomic level 3. The subsidy is 15% over consumption on the regulation top. 15% is a very important number, and we benefited over 75,000 customers in Tolima. This is provided by the national government and the companies who have these subsidies on the bill. Well, we have to charge the government in this case. Nobody wanted to implement this in Tolima, but we managed to benefit our customers with this subsidy with the support of local, national, and departmental offices. And another positive result is the distribution business. We have been working very hard with all the investments to continue with our service levels and improve them. We have made over 140 million investments this year in in the continuity this and in the continuity of the distribution business. And in expansion, we have invested 114 billion. In Tolima, we still have challenges with SEDI and SEIFI in indexes. But in the last quarter, we noted an important improvement. We expect that this is the final improvement towards the indicator path, and we will see how our PQRs started to lower compared to last year. They went down 11% despite the rainy months. So we are very happy, very content. And this availability of our distribution assets is at 99% still. So this is very good news, guys. All those efforts made by the company are recognized by our customers. This is added to the recovery, economic recovery of the last months. And this has been very important for recovering the level of collection we used to have. Our portfolio is very healthy. Our customers are all very good payers. And we have portfolio really near 99% in collection terms. The demand for energy, the collection has reached an average of 95%. In September and October, we have almost the same levels of the pre-COVID period. In terms of collection, we are working normally in October. In October, we expect to have the collection near to the historical levels. We are committed to support our communities in the framework of contributions in the Argos corporate group to support the most vulnerable families during the contingency. We joined many initiatives and we have contributed over 10 billion pesos. Nonprofits, 73 hospitals and institutions have been benefited with inputs, medical equipment. We have delivered over 14,000 nutritional kits and over 3 million liters of water to vulnerable population in La Guajira, in our communities. And so our social and environmental work teams have been supporting the community completely. We expect that with the wave of contagion, we are able to support the community with medical elements and biosafety. And we are very happy that Celsia is able to support and to help the community. And we expect to continue doing that. Some other aspects are the works for taxes. We have used this mechanism that the national government has opened. We do the works and we deduct the taxes that we would have to pay for doing them. And we had some important approvals for Tolima, especially one was an institutional building for 9 institutions in 91 offices in Tolima, in Prado, Villarrica, and Villahermosa municipalities. When we were there delivering the, we delivered over 4,800 items of furniture to those institutions, and we gave them and we are going to deliver over 500 computers to 8 educational institutions in Planadas municipality. So this will help them with a problem of many public institutions, connectivity problems. So, because this has generated a lot of school dropouts over the average. Well, in the financial front, we have managed to make some savings of 36,000 billion pesos. Our goal was 45 billion. So we're doing good. We're almost reaching the that goal. And talking about net savings, right? And we talk about net savings because we had to invest a lot in improvements and staff training for our customers that reach the stores. So everything goes net. And we are doing good in general terms, and we're providing good service to customers. And we also incorporated to this package of results that you can add the environmental, social, and government chapter. We have a positive impact and good management in these three aspects. I want to tell you something. We continue to work sustainably at Celsia. First, we opened the PCH in San Andres de Cuerquia, 19.9 megawatts. Some of you guys joined us in our virtual opening. This will generate energy for 25,000 homes. We were always accompanied by all the institutions, and Core Antioquia was received properties in Páramo de Santa Inés to protect the basin and the origin of this river. And this was very nice, and we continue to strengthen this environmental reserve. We continue to support them, and little intervention among threes. We rescued and translated or moved 100% of the trees, and they were taken to the Páramo area. We initially constructed two greenhouses to propagate species in the area. This plant was finished almost 3 months before it was expected, and this was very interesting. Talking about social issues, we reformed two educational institutions in terms of energy and water, and we continue to work hard on this area. But about San Andres PCH, I wanted to say that we expect a 90% plant factor. This is a permanent generation, and we're going to deliver the municipalities San Andres de Cuerquia, San Andres de la Montaña, every year, together with the resources given to Core Antioquia for the use of this central, about 1,200 billion pesos. Well, that is a summary of this third quarter, and these are very good results. Esteban is going to present the different effects, non-recurring effects that were presented there, especially the payment to the superintendents of services that we are fighting in every legal front, because we are not, we do not agree with this payment they are demanding, and we're going to tell you about the good results in this third quarter. Thank you, Richard. As you know, the general context of the industry, talking about operational financial results, you can find them in the reports published yesterday on the investors' website. What we were talking about on the report mainly is that this quarter we had huge effects or impacts coming from the 2019 operations. In order to understand the results of the organization, we need to choose what we need to compare. We have the operations of the Celsia free duty zone that contributed to net income. And the other one is the Caoba effect, because there, if we compare to the assets translated to or moved to Caoba, and in 2020, now we are now managing the participation method. As Ricardo mentioned in the introduction, before going to the financial results, the contribution for 22 1,980 billion pesos to the superintendents of public services that we were notified to this payment. And this generates a very important increase in this item. It's almost five times the contribution we expected. And there are two parts, the increase in the contribution and two, the special contribution to finance the corporate fund. We have several suits against this contribution that are pending to be solved. After this introduction, let's talk about consolidated income in this quarter. They reached 819 billion. That's almost 70% lower than the last year in the same period, and an increase of 1.1% after adjustment of the operations. In the accrued amount for the year, the income is over 2.6 billion. 2.6 trillion, there is a decrease of 4.3% compared to last year, and an increase of 70.7% after adjustment. The income of Colombia represents 89% of the total consolidated, and Central America is 11%. The cost of sales consolidated was 562 billion with a decrease of 19.1 compared to the third trimester of 2019, and the reduction is 3.1% excluding the free duty area. In Colombia, we have seen an increase of the variable cost pushed by the exchange rate that increased the CERE component in other variable costs of generation. Throughout the year, the consolidated sales cost is 1.78 trillion, is 10% less than last year. The administrative expense of the trimester of the quarter was 97 billion. That's 70% more than compared to last year. But out of those 97 billion pesos, almost 23 billion correspond to the contribution that was accrued during the trimester. If we don't include this, if you include this contribution, the contribution, we would have a variation of minus 10.4%. And the variation of the contribution will be 1.6%. EBITDA reached 257 billion with a reduction of 19.7%, or a growth of 6.1% after adjusting. And in Colombia contributed with 80% of the EBITDA, 207 billion, and Central America contributed 19.4%. That means 50 billion. In the first trimester, we thought that Central America would have an important comeback in these months, and they have managed in the third semester. It was a very solid third term, and we expect that this third quarter continues to do well despite the market conditions. Talking about business, EBITDA generated 153 billion, distribution in Valle 79 billion, Tolima distribution 31 billion. The commercialization business showed a negative EBITDA of 5.4 billion because they are collecting the effects of reliefs and collection reliefs we have been doing. So that business has to assume that. And the consolidated EBITDA for the year, we have 900 billion with a 2% growth, or an increase of 23% after adjustment. The EBITDA margin is 34%. It represents an increase of 200 pb or basic points compared to last year, and 153 after adjustments. The financial expenses, 76 billion. It was a reduction of 30%. And after we acquired the Tolima assets and mentioning the increase in transitory increase in debt, while we were looking for the capital structure in the long term for that operation, the provision of taxes in the quarter was 27 billion. The net income for the quarter was 69 billion, 78.1% compared to last year. We can see that in the free duty zone, because of the free duty zone, the accrued for the year of net income was 252 billion, 38% less than last year. But after the adjustment, there is an increase in 61%. And the income was 56 billion for the controlling entity, a reduction of 81% compared to last year, and after adjustment, 11.1% increase. In terms of debt, the company closes with a debt of 194 billion. During the semester, we started the leveraging after taking the capital debts. We have paid 100 billion in Colombia. In December, we have a negative effect of devaluation of peso, Colombian peso, and our debt from dollars to pesos has increased 156 billion pesos. But as I told you, Central America is in a deleveraging process. We have seen a decrease in the graphics, in the graphs. And in Colombia, we have started the payment of the 100 billion we mentioned. We close our consolidated cash flow of 373 billion. Colombia has available 178 billion, and Central America has 185 billion available. Talking about Caoba, through the participation method, they contributed with 45 billion pesos, 45 million pesos. They were affected by the long-term closing and commissions, special adjustments. The main numbers for the vehicle were 33 million. The EBITDA was 30 billion, and the net income for the organization was 86 million. Caoba had coverage with a forward. After the bridge loan finished, they received one disbursement by worth 1.05 billion. And the cost of that was set to a fixed rate. The long-term structure of the derivative will be managed through coverage method. The expenses of restructuring the derivative were seen in the on the third semester or the third quarter. And we have to receive the disbursements for Tolima expansion and Tolu Viejo execution. This is the end of the results comparison. And our third quarter was full, very, very full of items. And the fourth semester or the fourth quarter, I mean, the fourth quarter, we'll see the disbursement for Caoba from Caoba. Thank you, Esteban. Yes, I want you to feel where you're measuring the results. The EBITDA after the adjustment, and when co we compare the effects of Caoba's Zona Franca, and we compare the accrual of EBITDA, we have 93 billion with a 23% of growth in EBITDA. The result of the business, operational business, is very solid, very strong in terms of EBITDA. The recomposition of asset portfolio manages to reach a good profitability, and net income is generating numbers that surprises in a positive way. We never thought we would have this high. We would be this high. We have 61%, 61%, 252 billion net income in the third trimester, in the third quarter. So we maintain the operational company. Customers are happy, which is most important for us. Okay, to close, one of the breaking news that is making us happy is the silver seal we got on labor equity. We have been working with Grupo Argos, Celsia. We want to eliminate the crystal ceilings or the sticky floors, as we call them, so that women can reach positions that were usually offered to men only. We want to eliminate any kind of discrimination. After eliminating some positions 4 years ago, and we used the roles model, we managed equal pay. We managed to establish equal pay, as they say. So we are happy because there is an intergenerational balance throughout the company. Talking about gender, we have 30% women in the company, and as we continue to grow, we expect to increase the participation of women with talent and of feminine thought and contribution to the companies. So we are very happy for receiving this award. Esteban and myself have finished this presentation, and so we are now having the Q&A session. Ricardo, Esteban, we are ready to start the Q&A session. You can use the raise your hand. You can raise your hand there. The button is on the lower part of the screen. You can press the same button to put your hand down. We have some questions on the Q&A section. So we are going to start. Juan Gallegos from Porvenir. He has three questions. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. Pursuant to the report on results, there are suits against the expense demanded by the Superintendent of Public Services. What are you expecting? When are the suits going to be solved? Well, I want to invite Santiago Arango, our leader in corporate matters. This surprised the entire industry in a very negative way. And this is almost, I would say, the contribution of the superintendents went up 5 times, which is totally absurd. And we are fighting against this. So Santi, can you help us with the legal process? Why did this contribution appear? And what are the suits we have set and filed? And what is the progress? Of course, Ricardo, good morning to you all. Because of Murphy's Law, I don't have a very good signal, so I have to keep my camera off. I'm sorry. But the context. After the National Plan of Development, there was a modification of Article 85, the Public Services Law. They modified the taxable base. It was made by the Superintendent of Public Services. They say the contribution is in order to finance the operational expenses, but also the investment expenses of these institutions. So that's what happened. There was an additional contribution, temporary contribution for the Superintendent of the Public Services, liquidated on the same taxable base, which, as I told you, was increased at a 1% rate. So what is the effect of this modification in law? first, the taxable law, taxable base only included surveilled companies, but the superintendents had a deficit, they would include certain costs. That deficit is what was discussed. Under the new regulation, after overcoming the discussion, they included the total costs accrued minus taxes and other items, whether there was a deficit or not in the superintendents. So this increased the taxable base importantly. The rate as well, or the fee. The fee is determined based on the net budget of the superintendents plus the investment of the superintendents over the taxable base of all the agents. So what happened? What did we find? The budget of the superintendents increased importantly. Therefore, the fee increased as well. So this generated that in Salsa, Colombia, we increased the taxable base increased and the fee increased in Celsia. So the contribution for the corporate fund is the same taxable base incremented, but with a 1% rate. So this impacted us in a significant way. To date, there have been several suits. We have identified 7. And one of them has been ruled and the others are to be solved. What happens is that there is little clarity on the contribution use. And this is our main grounds. The contribution is meant to cover the operational expenses of the entity, not the investment expenses. So this is what we are discussing there. And this might be caused by the Electricaribe, issue that was liquidated last year. The agreements in the plan, increasing the taxable base and including the special contribution, we indicated that there is not connection with the special requirements. So they are violating the principles. But we don't know the sentence. We don't know the ruling on that suit, but they indicated that the enforceability will be applied as of January 1st, 2023. But it is the same because the additional contribution is created only until 2022. So we are expecting or we are waiting for the suits to be ruled, and we are trying all the governmental ways and using all of our resources because we consider that this increase in the contribution is not legal. That is not legal because the use should not include the investment expenses. However, as you know, this is principle of causation, and this includes our financial results. We want to declare the illegality of those standards, and they are going through the we expect that the suits going through the Constitutional Court will not defer the application over time. Well, this is a complex topic, and the entire system is fighting against this. Seven suits and one ruled. The ruling has not been published yet. No, we have only a press release. We don't know the ruling yet, so we need to know more about it. Yes, we will keep you posted about any progress, and we expect that we will go back to our normal payment to our to the institution that surveils us. There's a question from Juan Wadiego about Central America. Yes, Central America has three important assets. The eolic asset. In Costa Rica, we had an important maintenance in the substation, the level transformers in September. We had no generation there, but remember the contract that we have with the government, with ICE in Costa Rica. They buy all the energy. We have 6 months of high eolic generation and 6 months of low generation and lower price. So we take advantage to do the maintenance. So in the general scheme, in the general results, we have no problems. The Dos Mares or Two Seas asset in Panama. In the last quarter, they beat all the records of hydro generation. The spot price is about $40 in Panama. It was 70 before, 80 before. So we are very happy because this is an asset that is fully contracted and we are growing fully in energy. The BML asset with a very low price in the spot, we are just complying with the commitments we have for the next 2 years. This is a carbon generation asset, but in Celsia we have become renewable. So this asset, we want to overcome, but we are looking for options. To set the future in the medium term for this asset that will take us back in the results. I don't know if Esteban has any comments about Central America. No, Richard. In terms of perspective of contracts, I have no questions. And two new markets, we continue to capture customers in Panama, in Honduras. We're growing our business. We're focused on the solar photovoltaic business and we continue to grow very well. And we send our love to Honduras, who is enduring the hurricane. Well, the one last question of Juan Gallegos, what's the result of loans from Finiter and did you receive the disbursement? Well, after this long journey, we managed to sign the contracts to have the resources disbursed. We are signing them this month, and out of 36 billion pesos that comes from there, almost 30 billion will be disbursed through Findeter from November to December. And the national government, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they have signed a decrease on compensated rate. Findeter told us they are doing the management, but we are going to find a first tier bank. This was very low, so we're going to, this was very slow, so we're going to find a first tier bank for the operation of these credits. And this has been notified to the ministry, and we are going to file the forms for disbursement of resources, which is the lowest proportion. This is from socioeconomic level 1 and 2. Okay, now we're going to combine with the questions on live. Diego Vitrogo from Valores Van Colombia. So, please. Good morning to you all. Can you hear me well? We can hear you all right. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you, Esteban, and all the team of investors. I have two questions, actually. One is related to Caoba. Is it possible to know the conditions of dispersed loan over billion pesos to Caoba? Talking about Caoba again, when do you think that after the stabilization of operations and infrastructure, When is Kelba going to give us some news about new projects with a participation that they're going to participate apart from the projects mentioned in this call? And can you remind us the solar projects and the eolic projects in terms of licensing, etc.? Well, Diego, that's a good question related to the details of the projects. Yes, some questions are repeated, so we can solve several questions with one answer. So yes, that's a chapter we needed to detail in the presentation, Diego. Caoba is a company born on the run. It was born on the run because the design with Cubico from Celsa, we would continue to do the planning, design, preparation of procurement for new projects, and we have the entire package. Remember, level 3 and 4 assets of Tolima. This asset we are developing in our everyday activity, and the projects under construction. We have the Tolu Viejo Bolivar project, and they will require investment for the next 2 years, 160 billion pesos. Is $70 million actually, but that's the topic, Diego. We are very happy with the association. They're happy in the partnership. The partnership not only with our transmission business, but also solar and photovoltaic, medium and large scale business. I will let Esteban talk about the credit of Caoba. And we would then talk about eolic and solar projects under construction. Okay, I will close the topic about the Caoba projects. Diego, basically, what is the future is the Sadagun station of Caoba. It's a 500 STN that was awarded to us, and this substation will be invested. Will be managed by Caoba. Caoba is going to buy back from Celsia, because that's about 100 billion, and we will continue to work in projects 3, 4, 5 in Tolima, and Caoba should think about expansion in Valle. Caoba is always a vehicle that is working on growth. And the news, you can look for the Celsia hashtag, because hashtag Celsia, you will find the news there. And conditions for this first block, we have signed a bullet contract for 4 years. The project finance market is not the one we wanted for this type of assets. So we decided to use a bullet structure, a four-year term credit. The combined rate of all the terms is 7%. And we have three spheres. One is has been disbursed, and one of them is in dollars. Because they, that is Tolu Viejo, the Tolu Viejo area. It's it is disbursed in dollars. Well, what are we expecting in Caoba? After the project finance market comes back, we should try to find a long-term structure. Those that match the type of assets owned by Caoba. But right now we are in a bullet contract for 4 years. Okay, let's talk about the projects we have in terms of solar energy. We have the solar platform, as you know, COC. COC with Cubico. This platform takes the largest project of 8 megawatts, the large scale farms connected to one of our customers or delivering energy to the system. Well, we have over 600 megawatts that we're going to build next year. The team is working very hard on this scheme. In 1 month, we're going to open another solar farm, 10 megawatts. This platform, with its own financing scheme, comes with very aggressive projects for growth. Very cool progress, and we are happy with the know-how and the relationship with Cubico. Businesses in times of aeolic generation. We have a Wahira project, which is a project reaching 330 megawatts. We continue to work with queries after the quarantine and the restrictions. Our social teams are working hard on the area. We continue to progress. You guys know there was some noise about some communities that want more clarity on the projects. The Ombudsman Office also wants more clarity on the project. There are some tables installed in Wahira with several stakeholders, so the projects that are going to provide a lot of wealth to La Guajira, this project should be implemented the best way possible. And this is a very nice work in the communities where we have the parks. We're doing very well. We are progressing in our consultation. We don't depend on the collecting line building in Bogota, but our parks are connected directly. So we are going to build a transmission line, and we are working really hard. We hope that this process, in the end of next year, we expect to begin the building and finish the building by 2023, we should be finishing the last parks. This is within our budget, and we have a delay because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but we will see how to catch up in terms of equipment, procurement, detail engineering, selection of latest technology. We are going from 3 megawatts aerogenerators. The first generation generators were 3 megawatts. We're going to generators over 5 megawatts. So we are optimizing the park, and we are doing very interesting savings on the CAPEX. We hope we complete the goals in terms of savings, but we continue to progress. Guajira is going to enter as a milestone of energy generation in this country, and the ministry, the governor of Guajira, they are all working together to become this true. So we expect that this goes well. That is the report, Diego, of projects, and that's the report of projects and answering the questions. Okay, Richard, I would like to talk about projects. We are focusing on eolic and solar. We continue to progress very well. Tesorito team, the field work, the foundations, the access roads, camps, substations, they have started the works and they are very happy. Last week, we got a picture that made us proud. The first engines coming out of the construction line with the flag of Colombia, and we should start the inspection process and other processes. So Tesorito is doing very well in terms of schedule, as we mentioned in the last conference. Well, Esteban, actually, all the engines are constructed right now, all the engines. So the bottleneck that we may have there is overcome, and they have the inspection is the inspection has been passed. Okay, so we are seeing that we are going ahead in time. One question about Guajira projects. We have listened that, or we have heard that some inconveniences besides licensing. You explained we have no licensing problems, but there are some issues like logistics to transport and move equipment, aerogenerators to access the area. So can you tell us about that, talking about service projects? Good question, Diego. We are all expecting eagerly because bigger aerogenerators require bigger shovels. And, we are thinking about two options. They should reach Puerto Brisa, or they can reach Puerto Cerrejón dock. So Cerrejón was told to receive cargo other than carbon. So we're checking different options. If it reaches Cerrejón, that would be easy. The logistics would be easy. In Puerto Brisa, we would have to do some road improvements. We would have to modify or change the path or the route. But Diego, I would say that they are not going to be bottlenecks. It's a matter of defining the site, doing the logistic improvements so that the turning of the trucks is easy and the equipment can enter. So we are not going to have a bottleneck there. Ricardo, to clarify, our generation projects are already licensed. We are doing some licensing management processes, but that doesn't depend on the collector. Diego, do you have any other questions? No, that's all. Thank you very much. Well, stay safe, Diego. Stay healthy. Well, Roberto Paniagua from Corte Colombiana, he was raising his hand. Good morning. Can you hear me? Yes, Roberto. How are you guys? How are you? Very well. I have several questions about several topics because the last conference of the year, I'm going to go through different topics and then I will go back on some other topics. The first one is about investment vehicles. You mentioned CAOBA and the loans. I understand that there is a first loan of 1.5 billion at 7% per year for 4 years, right? Yes, sir, that's CAOBA. And is that a debt, one debt, or the entire debt of CAOBA, or is that only the first disbursement? Those are three disbursements. That's the first disbursement, and the other disbursements are related to CAOBA projects. So the second is Tolu Viejo, $70 million. That would be the loan, the investment value, right? Yes, that's the other disbursement. And the rate is the same? No. The term is 4 years, but the rate is going to be negotiated after the disbursement, but that's a dollar rate, so it's going to be significantly lower. And the third disbursement, how much would that be, more or less? The third, disbursement would be 160 billion, but the same term, 4 years, the rate's going to close at the time of disbursement, to be closed at the time of disbursement. Talking about the investment vehicle of the platform, ZOZ Energy, how is that accounted for in terms of capex? If you have 50%, you put that 50% from the capex. How does the debt work there? C2 is different from COBA. C2 is a joint business with Cubico. The JV is recorded on Celsius accounts. C2 is not a vehicle as COBA. C2 is registered as a joint agreement, as a JV. We record our own part in the agreement. So that's embedded in all the numbers we explained. That's the full solar business and part that corresponds to Celsius. So in the capex, you register 50% of the capex. Well, depending on the agreement, there are some confidentiality agreements. Each part has a different contribution on the agreement. So that's what is reflected there. Other topic is, talking about this topic, Ricardo mentioned that in the next year you expect to reach 600 megawatts through that platform. And you expect to begin the construction in 2021. If we're talking about 2021, are you including there the projects you mentioned lately, or the 600 megawatts come from new projects? In 2021, we are maturing the development we have been making. The big farms are going into the construction stage. Chicamocha is the first farm that it goes to construction stage in 2021, and there are several other farms. As Ricardo mentioned, we estimate that 2021 is going to be about 600 megawatts. Our pipeline, solar pipeline, is over 800 megawatts. The idea is to continue to do the solar development to meet the needs of our customers and the organization. Okay, the next topic that I didn't see in the quarter report, there for about 400 billion pending from COBA and 150 billion from the sale of free duty zone or Zona Franca. So I don't know, when are those resources shown? COBA closed the financial structure and received the resources. Celsius received the pending resources from COBA. Talking about the Zona Franca, those are not pending resources to be received. Part of the exercise of Celsius ends up with a PPA option, a purchase option of Termoflores, which is what we have been working with. In this year, we had about 18 billion. We executed about 18 billion from the balance. And the idea is to use this option when the market offers the window. But let's say that is not an account receivable. That's a PPA. Talking about taxes, do you consider that using the investments that are projected, you apply the topic of investments in Colombia for the topic of 27%? We are not taking the projects through mega investments. We are taking other roads. 1715, for example, is the big engine associated to eolic and solar. That's what we are talking about in terms of specific benefits. Talking about CapEx, and when we started the year, okay, and we're going to go through some other questions, and if we have time, we are going to continue with Robert. Okay, go ahead, Nicholas. Nicholas? Looks like Nicholas is there's one waiting for us in the chat. What dividends are you planning to pay next year? Well, that question is not yet set. We have to wait until the year closes. And depending on the board of directors' decision, and the possibilities, this decision is made later on, and I would only say that the results are very good. I would say that we can continue to provide a dividend, which is the question whether the company can pay the dividend or not. And I think Celsia would have no problem, but that's a decision made by the investors and the board of directors. Another chat question: do you have any progress on the 2021 budget and the investment for next year? Francisco Javier Gomez from Valora Analytica web portal. Well, Francisco, we're working hard on the budget. We want to imagine the word post-vaccine. This is the post-vaccine world, because COVID is here to stay for long. But after the vaccine arrives in Colombia and we go to the actual new normality, we are working very hard on the budget issues right now. Well, Nicholas, can you make your question? Good morning, guys. Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you, Nicholas. Great, Esteban, Ricardo, Gonzalo. Thank you. I don't know what happened with my mic, but I was like talking to myself. I have two questions I would like to ask. We talked about calculation and the retribution of the contribution to public services, the superintendence of public services, but I would like to know if the base to calculate this, the taxable base, and whether the regulation is contemplated in December 2022 until December 2022. So it's 24 months that is going to be a recurring effect. I might be wrong, but I wanted to check this with you guys. No, it is not the same base as liquid income. Our life would be easier. The basis for contribution is the sum of costs and expenses for the organization. We are discussing this in the application, because there are many costs that in the business, because of the separation of agents, they are replicas. For example, a marketer of energy has many purchases of energy because they are only marketing. But that's the sum of costs and expenses of the organization within a year, what determines the contribution. And the law of the plan established the increase in the contribution during the plan duration or during the plan term. So that's until the end of 2022. Santi, you can correct me if I'm wrong. until December 2022. And there's another question about Ener Tolima. We have transferred some assets, but the EBITDA registered this semester of 31 billion pesos. Can it be understood as a recurring EBITDA of Tolima operations, or we have to wait for something else on this front? Well, that is basically the EBITDA that is recurrent according to the assets adjusted for Caoba. We expect the level of the recurring level to increase because the service quality is going to increase, and this will generate a series of incentives from the regulation. This will be a contribution to EBITDA through the next years. And the other topic is the marketing strategies of the or commercial strategies of the organization. The commercial strategy constructed in Valle, and this is going to contribute to EBITDA. For the basic business, yes, 31 billion is the normal contribution of that business in the quarters of the organization. We expect improvement in operational areas and the commercial strategy. Thank you, Esteban. Thank you to the entire team. Thank you, Nicolas, Diana Mosqueda, is writing on the chat, on the question and answer tool. I see a reduction on short-term debts, but there is an increase in long-term commercial debts. Is that due to any reclassification of any debt, or why did this change happen? Diana Mosquera. Well, the balances tend to coincide, but they are not the same. 400 billion is the account of Celsia Colombia Caoba that is closed with the credit and the assets, long-term assets. We have the increase, mainly one, the effect of the rate path. In the third quarter, 75 billion pesos. That's registered in the accounts receivable in the long term. Two, we have revalorization because the debt we have is dollarized. With the same effect of Central America, we have that in a corporate account like this. The, we have 30 million debt. And you know that the increase was about 600 pesos in the exchange rate. So this will increase the debt. And as an organization, we have an investment in financial asset because it is a large-term asset, but we expect to rotate it because it's a portfolio position. But because of the nature of the asset, it is right now long-term, and it is registered in the accounts receivable. Thank you, Esteban. Andres Duarte, you joined with a personal email. Corfi Colombiana, Andres, please, can you do the question and open the mic?
Listo. Buenos días. Right. Muchas gracias por tomar en cuenta.
Thank you for taking
son dos preguntas realmente.
I have two
una
questions,
es, okay. Sí, por favor, si tienen la mano, nos recuerdan cuál es la base regulatoria de activos de distribución que actualmente tienen y la misma pregunta en distribución y transmisión para Caoba. Y la otra pregunta es específicamente sobre Caoba. Sin nuevas inversiones, teniendo en cuenta los activos actuales y el endeudamiento actual, ¿cuál es la relación entre los ingresos operacionales del vehículo y el servicio de la deuda anual. Y lo pregunto por el, pues por el hecho de que el vehículo está bastante endeudado, como es de esperarse. Entonces quiero entender si, como está hoy, ya se podría esperar que haya un ingreso por método de participación a partir del servicio de la deuda futura, o si se requiere de que efectivamente se den las inversiones para que comience a aportar positivamente por método de participación. Muchas gracias por tomar mis preguntas.
Thank you for answering my question. Thank you very much, Andres. I'm going to answer the last question. How about its structure? The participation method is positive already, and it is not a huge participation method because it reflects a leveraging structure designed for transmission assets with contract. One of the advantages of Caova for Celsia, when you see the consolidation of Celsia as an integrated business, Celsia would not have the advantage before banks. The leverage of vehicles, let's say that only dedicated to the transmission, you can have a huge leverage. We wanted a vehicle with a partner, with a more efficient capital cost, and get a very good income in the obtaining the assets, and also leveraging the vehicle with the ideal capital structure for that vehicle. So this is a vehicle that has been leveraged 6 or 7 times compared to the EBITDA levels. That is normal. That is normal in the transmission industry. But we have another advantage, Andres. Caova is here, but we are receiving resources for the operations from Celsia, design operations, looking for business operation of assets. So all this infrastructure is not duplicated in Caova. Caova is a vehicle, but the operational optimization is still in Celsia. The operational team is also operating with Caova. I don't know, Esteban, if that's the response or where we can give...
No, de acuerdo. No, la idea no es quedarnos acá. Solamente si ya está, digamos, cuál es el servicio de la deuda anual, tanto intereses como capital, más o menos, para tener eso dimensionado. Dado que hay un crédito bullet por ahí y otros
credit over there and some other credits. Esteban, we can give them the data. We can publish on the webpage. Yes, it is interesting that you guys said. Thank you, Andres, for asking that. And I believe that you, as analyst, when you start to see the results, we need to start monitoring the results of Caova and the results of JB. That's Esteban explained, which are an integral part of our management. Thank you, Andres. We have a question from Francisco Javier Gomez from Valor Analytic. Go ahead, Francisco. You raised your hand, so please get ready to intervene. Okay, I'm going to read the question. From Francisco, how do you see the recovery of internal demand in Colombia? They said we were reaching pre-COVID levels. We're very happy with the recovery of operation, the recovery of demand in Colombia. When we see the last month data, we see a recovery of the demand near to last year. When we see the results, depending on the, we go down from 1 to 4%, depending on the basis, which is very little compared to the situation we have left. So we are seeing a very interesting economic recovery. Our commercial teams are beginning to see, as you have seen, the energy business is improving even more than expected. This is a positive message for Colombia. Recovery is going to continue, and eventually we will have November and December very well within the expectations of after
no, Ricardo, overcoming sí, sí, Gonzalo, muchas gracias por haber contestado yes, la, Gonzalo, la pregunta que era sobre la question,
which was about recovery. Thank you, Francisco. Do you have any other question?
No, muchas gracias.
No. Well,
claro, saludos de Rodrigo y de Camilo también.
People in Valora. Thank you. We have a question on the chat. Ian Hill, are you planning to launch green bonds to lower the cost of debt? We were the first to launch green bonds in Colombia, although some colleagues said that they were the first. But the thing is that we used two investors, the IFC and the FDN. Our team here, and Esteban is laughing. We have a very nice partnership in Celsia. We are an ESG company, sustainability index, eolic emissions. We are working with Argos Group, but possibly our neutral carbon at Celsia has a negative carbon because. In terms of emissions, it's crazy because our emissions are very, very low. And this joined to the planting of trees, 5 million trees in this year, almost six. Yes, and so we have a company that is complying with all the criteria. We have the team that is monitoring whether we are able to have a window to optimize our cost. And also, many investors that come to us and they say, hey, I want to invest in Celsia and this portfolio. Our companies are worth a lot of money in the exchanges in New York and in Europe, but our share has been spectacularly growing compared to the market. So that's a long answer to a simple question, but yes, we are considering emissions of the green bonds or CSG, and yes, we will use them if we need them for financing projects. Okay, Diana Mosquera, please go ahead. You can ask your question now. Hello, good morning, can you hear me? Hey, Diana. Morning, Ricardo. Diana, we apologize. We cannot hear you. We cannot hear you. Can you hear me now? Yes, we can hear you now. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I was asking you guys, Grupo Renovar is doing an auction of non-conventional. Is Celsia going to participate in this opportunity? Diana, we received yesterday Renovatio's needs, and Renovatio is commercializing, so they want to join 2 points. And we have a powerful business in B2B, over 2,000 customers. We have a strong commercial network with markets in Valle, in Tolima, in all the country. And we have the possibility to generate our own energy and place it. We have bought Project Energy. We have bought energy from Esteban, I think 40 megawatts from solar projects that are ready. And we are buying them to commercialize in our network. As soon as we receive, well, we received the information from Renovatio yesterday, and we think this is the first auction, and this is groundbreaking, and we expect to replicate the Renovatio mechanism, but we're not going to participate with our projects in this auction. Thank you, Diana. Remember, Renovatio was our co-developer in Eolic projects. So we love working with them. Thank you, Diana. Camilo Rondan asks, what are the expectations in the new contracts and procurements in Central America? There are none, Camilo, because we are currently on standby talking about the thermal asset and the hydro asset has contracts until 2023. That's why we are doing our own portfolio of huge customers, so that when the contracts are due in the hydro asset, we can go to B2B contracts. That's our strategy, and we haven't seen any procurements in Panama. From Ian Hill, are you thinking about repurchasing assets? If we are thinking about repurchasing assets, no, we are not. Today, we are in an investment mode, and our needs and requirements are directed or focused on that investment, the profitability that we expect. Those investments are higher than those we could offer to investors if we went through a repurchase strategy. We have a philosophy with investors in Celsa. If you remember when we had this very hard moment in 2014, 2016 with El Nino, and we had to pay the dividend, we paid a dividend of 3,300 share dividend, and the profitability has been spectacular. Several minority investors wanted to invest more in the company, so we have very good profitability. Our rate is no lower than 15%. We are very demanding in capital allocation. So repurchasing shares is not an option. The price of the share today is making us happy because it went through COVID without any issues. And we are on the top three in the share behavior. And we expect a very positive behavior of the share in the next year so that investors are happy with their support. Juan Pablo Arboleda, how is the alliance or the partnership working with the electric vehicle? Well, that charger, yes, is sold. That's a modest or a humble penetration, because although there are many electric vehicles in the country, our residential charger continues to have a good participation in the market. We are working with marketers of electric vehicles in the country, and I think our market share is good. Our phase right now is redesigning chargers that are more powerful, and we are in the phase of installing the charging of Transmilenio buses. We're receiving over 100 vehicles in November. That's our focus. In terms of electric mobility, we expect that Boomerang is going to do good after the economy is dynamized in the country. The alliance with Sudamericana. Um, we have different for also for bicycles and different customers that require this service. And Roberto Pena, Juan Pablo Arboleda, how's the mix of the company in dollars and in pesos, Colombian pesos? Well, consolidated, all of Central America is in dollars. So that's 90% of the income is in dollars. In Colombia, the proportion is very slow. The out of the total income in the organization is not even 5%. That's the only dollarized income we have. That's under 25%. Under 5% of the consolidated income of Celsius. And now Roberto Paniagua is going to go live to ask a question. Can you hear me well? Yes, thank you. Oh, I have three questions. In Panama, I understand that recently a new LM contract of power procurement. What is the price of procurement, and are you getting income from that contract? Is there any extension? Well, the price, I don't have it on my head. This contract gives us 2.1 million. And another question is understanding the data in XXM. They published some long-term contract info. If you see the price average, the Celsius contracts is going down 230 pesos. In 2024, it's like 156 pesos kilowatt per hour. That's what I see in the long-term regulated contract. Is this due to anything in special, or is this updated as you guys change the contracting? Well, Roberto, 156, no. We're not going to sell at that price, Roberto. That's why I was analyzing this, the numbers. We're going to check the XM information, and you can give us, because no. The prices of the regulated market were going down. They were done 2 or 3 years ago. The typical duration in distributors is about 3-4 years. That is going, it's extending. There are new conditions in the way that those contracts are procured. We have seen that 2 years ago, the price curve started to go down with the Hidroituango expectations, the Eolic projects. But with the delay in Hidroituango, the price of energy has gone up like crazy. And we can see that in the markets. It goes over 200 pesos, 210 pesos. And this is a trend for the next 2 or 3 years. And it goes flat a little bit because the expectation is to receive, we're going to receive Hidroituango and some strong projects like Viento de Guajira project. And then we will see a normalization of prices. But this is always changing. Thank you, because I was checking the numbers and that was kind of weird. The prices of Celsius, Calima, for example, compared to Kimbo and compared to Chivor, they are higher prices. So my interpretation is a little less competitivity next to the other hydroelectric plants. Is that due to the location strategy? No, Roberto. Each reservoir is very different. Calima is very small next to the other two that you mentioned. our reservoir is big in Salvajina. That is not multi-annual. Multi-annual are from the north of Antioquia, but these reservoirs can go on 3-4 months. Kalima will not reach that. If we use Kalima full capacity 24 hours in less than a month, we will deplete it. Our reservoirs take the best prices to deliver when we have an opportunity in the stock exchange, and the support to our contracts in the medium and long term in the company. That's the strategy that we have with our reservoir and those living around the reservoir in the municipality, and those who go on vacation suffer a lot. Thank you, Roberto, for your question. And finally, sorry, just to finish. Annually, we see that in the last years, the generation and sale of energy in Celsia goes down, but not necessarily at national level. So is this due to the portfolio, the strategy of you guys? Thank you very much. Well, Roberto, the most important piece of information is the sale of Zona Franca or free duty zone. And all the growth comes from 2021 with the solar installations. So we are in Valle and we are going back to growth. But Zona Franca change is huge. And there was a huge impact. Well, Roberto, I think, Gonzalo, that the Q&A question was like never before. Yes, this was a very, very nice and very informational Q&A session. And this is very good for this kind of events. Santiago, Esteban, Ricardo, any final thoughts? No, I just want to thank everyone here, all the participants in this event. Stay safe, guys, and take care of yourself, you know, because of COVID. And we are happy with Celsia's development in the last months. We expect to reach a very good final result, and we expect to have our customers happy and to keep the ongoing projects running. Thank you very much for your time. Have a nice day. Thank you, guys. See you later. See you in the next one. Bye-bye.